Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles. We win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
630 Chad and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca.
On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
This is the second hour of Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. Hope you're doing well. It's currently 105 in Edmonton. We heard from Oilers forward Zach Cassian today at 12:15. John Shannon joined us. And coming up in the second hour, Keith Gretzky, the Oilers' assistant general manager, he'll be talking about the rookie camp roster. Oilers' rookie camp takes place Wednesday. The Oilers were on the ice today. Captain skate Darnell Nurse, Zach Hyman back in Toronto at the league event representing the organization. We will tell you the second hour of Oilers Now is brought to you by Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Without further ado, we are going to head off to the River Cree Resort Casino. Our hotline number is 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino. Excitement, bet on it. And we are pleased to welcome back to the show somebody who I saw today for the third time in the last 18 months. Bumped into him in the catacombs of Rogers Place, actually right in the main office. Keith Gretzky. Hi, Keith. How you doing?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Good. Have you missed me over the last 18 months?
Always, always. Always love talking hockey with you.
Yeah, sure. All right. So let's get to it. We got the rookie camp. It takes place. We just had John Shannon on. I asked him about the Penticton tournament. I think we'll start there. Just in the past, there's been the event in Penticton where we've been able to get, you know, the four Western Canadian teams. Actually, one year there were six. I'm not sure what you guys did in Boston before you came to the Oilers, but just trying to make the best of a challenging scenario this year with the two tournament, or I guess the two exhibition games against the Flames rookies?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do this year. Of course, we, you know, before we went to Penticton, and then, you know, we decided to go away from it, and I think we're going to maybe look at going back to it where you can play. You want to see your kids that you've drafted and the kids that you bring as an invite, and also just to see the kids and their development in a year. You know, there's big changes on guys, so that's the exciting part about rookie camp.
How excited are you just to maybe see some of the European guys and some of the, you know, the newly drafted players and how, yeah, they'll look? I mean, obviously you've got a history with the guys that finished last year in Bakersfield where you guys won the Pacific Division. But, you know, for a guy like Konovalov, as an example, who comes over from the KHL, Philip Broberg, who finished the year last year playing for Skellefteå in Sweden, it's got to be pretty exciting to see guys like that.
It is, and you see, you can throw in Samarukov and Maximov. So Berglund, we've got guys that we haven't seen in a while, and that's why it's good for them, you know, a little bit to get their feet wet with guys their own age, and instead of going right into the main camp where you have the heavyweights, and they get their feet wet and they can show what they can do in the two games against the Calgary rookies. So it's all in all, it's a good idea. It's a great chance for them to show everybody what they're capable of doing.
Work in progress on the roster front, is that a fair assessment? I mean, you had guys playing this weekend in major junior and exhibition games, in college in Canada in exhibition games. You got a couple guys I believe we're not sure of in terms of health-wise, in terms of whether or not they're going to be good to go. So are you guys still, I know the roster went out on Thursday, but there's a possibility there might be a couple changes still?
You know what, there might be one or two, maybe. You know, we were set. I think we had 15 forwards coming. nine defensemen and three goalies. So I think we're kind of set, but, you know, you're always looking if we feel or hear that one of our guys are injured and you have a spot open and a scout or somebody really liked the player, then we would talk about bringing the guy in. But for most part, I think we're set. We have, the scouts go out there, Tyler Wright's group, they go out and they work the trails and they like the players. So that's who we kind of listen to of the guys they like and you try to get them to rookie camp and so they can show what they can do, especially the guys that have never been drafted. And, I always say it's when you come here, do your best and show what you can do.
Have you had an opportunity to see, I know Konovalov's been in town. Have you had a chance to see him out with those captain skates at all, Keith?
Yeah, I've seen him skate a few times. I've talked to Swartzy about him, so it's good. We got the Bakersfield goalie coach Lies here, so it's a good chance for everybody to get to work with him. And his English is coming. It's not the best you could say, but it's good enough to get him by.
All right. Now there's a theory on goaltenders, and I don't know whether or not you agree or disagree with this. You don't want them too big, because sometimes there's holes in goaltenders if they're 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". But you don't want them, it's tough for goalies that are 5'11", or 6 feet. Kind of that sweet spot's like 6'2", to 6'4". So I got to ask you about Konovalov, because he's listed at 5'11", 196. He had a .923 save percentage in a real good league last year in the KHL, Keith. Obviously, this guy must rely on his athleticism. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. From what I've seen in a couple of skates that I've seen him in, he's quick down low. But you know what? It's a different league when you get over here, and you'll watch, they're better shooters probably. I think it's the ice, the size of the ice a little bit too, the position, how they play the game. There's more. And I mean by the size of ice is that, the D played the two-on-ones different or the three-on-ones different over in Europe. That's European hockey a little bit. So for him, it's going to be adjustment. It's good that he's here early, that he can get his feet wet before rookie camp.
Olivier Rodrigue, you mentioned Sylvain Rodrigue, who is his father, coaches the goalies on the farm. Olivier is going to be competing for a spot with Konovalov and Stuart Skinner, who had a very good step forward year last year. Rodrigue last year split between the EA and the ECHL, and this is an important year for him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's he was over in Europe, and when the season didn't start on time, we had him playing, so it was really good for him. And then when he came back, he was in Bakersfield, and as you mentioned, Stu was outstanding. So we tried to give him some games to get his feet wet for this year, really. And you always want to win, but you got to develop the players too. So he got his fair share of games for Bakersfield, so this is a real big year for him, too.
Samarukov got hurt in February, banged up his shoulder. That window usually, Keith, can be 4 to 6 months. Is he going to be good to go to start, or is that TBA?
He's close. I think that it's, I think we'll know in the next day or two, but he's really close. He's looking good. He looks stronger. I think he, just the way he skates out there, kind of reminds me of his last year in junior where he had the confidence.
Yeah.
I thought his first year in Bakersfield, it's a big jump to go from junior to the American Hockey League. Everybody thinks it's easy, but it's hard. It's the best players that are on the cusp of making the NHL, and you got different travel. You're living by yourself and without billets. So I thought the first year he started coming a little bit at the end. And what we've heard from him that he played last year was really a good season for him. So I think just watching him the last week here skating, he looks like a different player. He's one guy I can't wait to see, really play and log a lot of minutes down in Bakersfield.
Well, and he was plus 24 last year in 48 games for CSKA, which is a top team over in the KHL. Keith Gretzky is joining us on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. So Samarukov's a guy that the fans have got a lot of interest in, Keith. It's interesting with Broberg because, and you were there, but when we came back out of the 2020 pause and went into the training camp before going into the bubble, like the first week, he was fantastic. He played here in Edmonton for the World Juniors. He had, I think, three separate injuries at one point. And then his minutes decreased as the playoffs went on with Skellefteå over in Sweden. Have you had a chance to see him yet? How does he look? Obviously, this is a guy that is a huge part of the Oilers' future.
Yeah, I've seen him skate. And you're right, he's, you know, a big part of what we're trying to build. But the biggest thing is that, again, it's another guy that, you know, I think Ken has done a really good job of showing everybody, listen, we have to be patient with all the kids. You can't race them up. It started with Yamamoto going back down to the American League a few years back. And then, you know, McLeod getting called up at the end of last year. So they have to be ready. And whatever happens, he can have a great camp. And if we decide that, you know, he needs some time, it's in the best interest of his career and the Oilers that, you know, we wait and he develops. So he's another guy like Samarukov that it's going to be exciting to see play.
All right. Well, the one thing your D has is size. And I think at Tampa Bay, for all of the, hey, Tampa Bay out of depth, and they lost some of that depth because Goodrow went out and got paid, and so did Coleman. But they had, you know, a terrific third line, but they had a big defense. I think it's something people forget about. And, you know, you're looking at Broberg 6'3". We know Bouchard, the coaches have been effusive in their unsolicited praise of what the guy who you drafted when you were running the draft for the Oilers, Keith, Evan Bouchard, is hopefully going to bring Edmonton this year. But, you know, Broberg, 6'3". To me, he's closer to, he looks like he's a 6'4" D-man. We mentioned Samarukov, who's 6'3". You saw three guys down on the farm last year by the end of the season. Niemelainen at 6'5", though he went through some injury problems. He's a lefty. And then a couple righties, Kemp and Kesserling at 6'3 and 6'5". These guys are long bodies, Keith. Are they changing the complexion of the Oilers' makeup with the type of prospects they have on defense?
Yeah, a little bit. I would have to agree with that. And I think you said it properly. In Bakersfield, you watched our team last year, if you ever saw them on TV, is that we're big. We're really big. We have long reach. And we play hard, but it's the reach. You think that you get by a guy and all of a sudden Nemo sticks flying out of, you know, left field because he's so big. So I think that has changed a little bit in the last couple of years. And with all those guys that you mentioned, most of them are over 6'3", and they're mobile. And that's the thing. You still got to be able to play. You can't just be, you know, big and not be able to play. So it's a learning curve. You see Kesserling, who came out of college, same with Kemp. They got their feet wet at the end of last year, but they have some.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And when you watch him play, you sit there and say, yeah, I like the size. So it does help to defend.
All right. Up front, Dylan Holloway. And there have been multiple reports, and this started with Jason Gregor last Monday, but some concern over Holloway's availability. Do we have any confirmation one way or the other at this time, or is it TBA, Keith?
TBA. We'll know in the next little bit here, I think.
Okay. There are a couple other higher drafted prospects for Edmonton, including Raphael Lavoie, who you saw. He was fairly, you know, contributed offensively. 5 goals, 10 points in 19 games last year in Bakersfield. A 6'5", 197-pound second-round pick, a right winger. The Oilers have got some size of Puljujärvi and Zach Kassian on the right side. Yamamoto, obviously, at the other end of the scale. What did you see out of Lavoie in the second half of the season, Keith?
Well, he started the season when we were playing. He was over in Europe playing, and when their playoffs were done, he came in, as you mentioned, at the end for us. And, you know, the biggest thing for him was just getting rid of the junior habits learning to come play every day, every shift. He started off really good, and I think he maybe hit the wall with a lot of hockey, a lot of travel. Surprisingly for me, watching Rafi play was I didn't know he was as physical as he was. When he's on his game, he likes to play the body, which is great to add up front with the size, of course. And he's got a wicked shot. That's his bread and butter. And you know, I think he just needs to clean up his game. It gets a little sloppy without the puck. And that happens when you're young. And that's why, you know, you send guys to the minor leagues. So, but, you know, I've watched him here skating for a little bit. And he's starting to tighten up. His skating looks tighter. And so it's just a work in progress with him. But so far, so good.
How much have you seen of Xavier Bergot?
I haven't seen him. Bob. So okay. It's going to be exciting to see.
Okay, because, again, I mean, a first-round draft choice out of the Quebec League. One guy that made an addition, and he's not on an NHL contract, a guy that was closing in on a 100-point season in 1920 with the Medicine Hat Tigers, playing for Willie Desjardins, that is James Hamblin. And he was another guy, played 38 games for your last year down in Bakersfield, and he was a pretty effective bottom six forward, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know what? We our scouts really liked him. We were really looking for, you know, some depth for our hockey club in Bakersfield. And he was close. I know Hamblin was close on different teams and maybe an NHL contract and different things. And I had called Bob Green, had me call Willie, his old coach, and Willie said, you would just love this kid, and this guy plays hard every shift, and he's reliable, he's good without the puck, and he's not the biggest guy, but he's very dependable and a really good teammate. So he's going to be exciting to see in this tournament because of, you know, he's just been on an American League deal, and that's why you never say never on players, and I think Hammer's a guy to watch.
Tyler Tulio, I don't know how much of a scouting report you have on him. Apparently he's exceeded expectations to this point. Fifth round pick back in 2020. Are you going to be interested to see him play?
Yeah, we brought him. Matter of fact, he was over in Europe for a little bit in Slovakia. So we brought him to Bakersfield, and we were, you know, he skated with us for, I think, about a month. And we just had so many forwards, and it was hard to get him. He was young to get him in, and we wanted to see what he could do. He's a hardworking kid, and you know, I think everything that he does is hard work. He gets rewarded. So it's going to be interesting to see him play against his own peers and see how he does. But from what I've seen in Bakersfield, and I've talked to him multiple times in the last few weeks, it's going to be good to see him play too.
Keith Gretzky is the assistant general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. They take on the Flames rookie Saturday, 5 p.m. That's an Oilers webcast broadcast on www.edmontonoilers.com. All right, so Keith, in the past, and there have been years where the Oilers have had five or six tough guys, literally, in the lineup, and not enough scoring. And then there have been times where, you know, and the game's changed. We talked about that with Zach Kassian, the difference of 10 years ago to now. Do you, like, Calgary's, they had Onabuchi on their team a couple years ago. He was one of the toughest players in the league out of the Kamloops Blazers. They got Coltrane Wilson, I saw. He's not a timid fella. Do you need that anymore in these rookie tournament games, or is it really more about the evaluation and where some of your younger players are at?
For us, it's you want to evaluate. You got to be able to play, and you know, we had success last year in Bakersfield. We didn't have a tough guy, but we were team tough. We played as a as a whole group, and you stick up for each other, and you know, you're there for each other, even though you might not be a fighter, but you got to get in the scrums if somebody's, you know, getting taken advantage of. And I mean, we had, you know, different guys that stepped up every night and, you know, looked after each other. I think that's what more it is nowadays. You got to compete hard. If you don't compete, that's probably the biggest issue I would have, is you got to be able to come in and compete and work hard and not get out battled.
You had Brad Malone last year in an AHL deal. He's back in an A deal this year. So too now is Adam Cracknell. How important is it to have those veterans complement, you know, the likes of Marody, who led the league in goal scoring, or Benson, who's been a point per game guy over the last 3 years in the A?
Well, that was one thing that, you know, when we talked with Ken maybe last summer, we were talking about Bakersfield and myself and Bill Scott and him, and he says, you know, it's so important to get the, you know, veteran players down there, and you may have to spend a little bit of money and to help these young kids. And you can go out and sign four or five older veteran players, but they've got to be, you know, the good veteran players that realize, hey, I'm down here, those kids aren't taking my spot, type of attitude, and that they're going to help them out and be accountable and just to learn to be a pro on and off the ice. And it's just not on the ice, of course. You know, how you live, you know, when you have days off and you know, just everyday living things when you become a pro. And I thought with I was there for the 4 months, just watching, you know, Malone and Cracknell and Esposito and Stanton and Gravel. Those guys were so good with our young kids that we probably had more success because how well of a team they were and believed in each other. So I think it's really important. I really do. And they might not be the best players, but, you know, the work ethic. I know, like, Adam Cracknell was the first guy, you know, at the rink every day. And so the young kids see it, and hopefully it rubs off. And when you have good mentors, it's going to help us as an organization.
You mentioned Stanton and Gravel. They're no longer in the equation. You got, you know, you obviously got Broberg and Samarukov and Niemelainen. They're all lefties, and you're sitting there with Kemp and Kesselin and Berglund. Those guys are righties, and I'm missing another left shot defenseman potentially. I mean, Lagesson, we'll see what happens there. But could you use a guys of similar ilk to a Gravel? I don't know how many right shot guys like that are out there, but could you use another veteran D just for a little bit more experience?
You would love to always have that, Bob. Like, I know if I went to Woody and asked him, hey, would you like another veteran D? Of course, he's going to say, yeah, we all do. But at the end of the day, you know, we all believe that, you know, we have a lot of young kids, and if, say, you know, I'm not saying they're going down there, but if you're saying Broberg, Samarukov, Niemelainen, and there's three, you got Berglund, Kesselin, Kemp, and you forgot Desharnais.
Yes.
We have a lot of D, and when you go to the American League, it's not good for development if the kids are sitting in the stands. And you might take a little bit of, you know, beatings once in a while, but that's why you have good goaltending. And you'll have, we really believe our forward depth of the experience will help the young guys. And I think Dave Manson has done an unbelievable job with all our young D. And this is a great chance for them to grow. And I'd rather, you know, make sure they're playing personally, just, you know, so they can, you know, further their career and get better and get to the NHL quicker.
Keith, thanks for an update. We look forward to getting an update on Holloway and Samarukov. And, well, it's good seeing you down at the rink again.
All right. You too, Bob. Take care.
That is Edmonton Oilers Assistant General Manager Keith Gretzky, 127 in Edmonton, where cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridge Ford of Wetaskiwin is committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using enough, payments or an interest rate that's too high, or a vehicle that you may want to sell, refinance, or trade in for something different, go visit Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridge Ford. Give them the call, 1-877-477-3673, or visit BrentRidge.com. And all season long, the Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. And the two guys we're keeping a big eye on here in the rookie camp are going to be Samarukov on defense and Holloway up front. And again, Holloway had, anytime you're talking the wrist or the scaphoid, you're always a little bit concerned because sometimes there's challenges there. I think in Samarukov's case, sounds like he's been skating a fair amount. He could be closer. That Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. All right, we're going to head off to a global news weather traffic update. As you know, I watch college football, and one stoked and pumped up BYU Cougar fan, Eileen Bell, they finally beat Utah.
It was awesome.
There you go.
It was
awesome.
Did
you watch the end of the game when they stormed the field? Holy cow.
Oh, my gosh. It was just fantastic.
Eileen, yeah. I'm only half joking with you on this, but there were some Mormons having some fun out there, let me tell you.
I think so, yeah.
They were pretty pumped up. For the listeners that are unaware, Kyle Whittingham's the head coach at Utah. He was offered the job at his alma mater, which is Brigham Young. He ultimately chose Utah, and the balance of power swung a bit, and BYU knocked them off on Saturday night.
Right in the butt, didn't it?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They nailed them. Up next, the Globe. That quarterback's a pretty exciting player. He's kind of along the lines of a Kyler Murray, kid named Hall. By the way, the last time BYU beat Utah, Max Hall was the quarterback about 12, 13 years ago. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen, and then you coming up on Oilers Now. We'll open up the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline at 780-496-0063.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.